This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Well, if you've seen the Diddy docs, there's many of them now, and they just keep coming. And then you think you heard it all, and then you look in Rolling Stone, and oh, here's another fine account of life with Sean Diddy Combs. He's now facing shocking new allegations about his private life with a former male sex worker. Stepping forward to detail claims of ritualistic sex parties, voyeurism, and heavy drug use, the accusations are published in the new Rolling Stone expose, adding to the growing list of legal and reputational challenges for the embattled hip-hop mogul. A man using the pseudonym Nathan spoke to Rolling Stone about his alleged experiences with Combs, claiming he was frequently paid between $2,000 and $5,000 to participate in the music mogul's notorious freak-off parties. According to Nathan, Combs was meticulous about how those encounters unfolded, saying, quote, "I think he'd try to regulate her pleasure," Nathan said of Combs' role in directing sessions. He described the experiences as ritualistic, where Combs would choreograph every moment until he became too intoxicated to continue. Nathan recounted meeting Combs in a lavish hotel room in Miami, New York, and Los Angeles, where he was required to surrender his phone before undressing and using baby oil that had been warmed in hot water.
Ding, ding, ding. There's your baby oil connection.
Yeah. I guess the question is it drugged? Quote, "I don't use baby oil to this day because of all the baby oil I used to put on me," he shared. "The hotel rooms were freezing. The baby oil was warm. So if you were cold and your clothes were locked in another room, the baby oil kept you warm." He really thought this through, didn't he? He's like, yeah. Really? Diddy seems like he was playing a sick, sadistic version of The Sims, but in real life.
Nathan, that's what it feels like, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it really does. It's just like everybody's kind of his toy, kind of like, I'm going to make you do this, I'm going to make you do that, and I'm going to influence you to do that. Yeah. Nathan also described Combs' alleged voyeuristic tendencies, claiming that the Bad Boy Entertainment founder would sometimes pretend to leave the room but secretly watch in the shadows. Nothing creepy about that. He'd pretend to leave the room, like go around the corner and crawl in the room on the floor and peek around the corner or use the mirrors, Nathan alleged. Really creepy shit, obviously, because it's like, your girlfriend, why do you even have to do that? Drug use was also a significant part of the parties. According to Nathan, who claimed Combs was particularly fond of ecstasy and ketamine, he alleged that these substances fueled Combs' sexual compulsions, making him a sex addict and an obsessive drug addict. Nathan even suspects he was unknowingly drugged at one of the events, describing a horrible reaction that left him very disoriented, saying, quote, "The stuff he had me so out of my mind," he said, describing Combs as entrenched in his addictions. Combs' legal team has worked now to present him as a changed man, particularly in light of the 2016 incident where he was seen abusing then-girlfriend Cassie Ventura. His lawyers pointed to his willingness to return to New York despite knowing he would be arrested as proof of his supposed reformation. Nathan, however, strongly rejected any of that narrative. "It's bullshit," he stated. "He's not reformed. He just wanted to get out of jail. He's the same person." Combs' legal team has declined to comment on Nathan's allegations. Specifically, his lead attorney, Mark Agnifilo, claimed that they had already interviewed multiple male sex workers connected to the mogul. "I've asked all the questions I could think of. Was anybody too drunk? Was anybody too high? Did anyone express any hesitation?" Well, there was the slightest inkling of that possibility. Possibly the woman wasn't consenting. "No, no, no," Agnifilo said. I'm glad he was there to fill us in on what was going on. But there you go. This is, again, just another example of more people coming forward with the same sort of story against Diddy.
You know, interesting. They're all telling the same story. Now, could they be making it up? Of course they could. But we are
not
seeing,
everybody.
Right. We're seeing this thread. You know, there's a common thread in a lot of these stories, and a lot of it is power and money that people felt like they couldn't just step away and go, you know what? I'm not into orgies. I'm going to go home. Mm-hmm. No, they felt like they had to participate, or their livelihood, their reputation, all of it would go down the drain. Like, once you got into his web, the spider had you.
Yeah, and it truly did. I mean, when you, in that new doc that's out on Investigation Discovery and Max, it really goes into his violent tendencies even more than I think we've seen in other docs and accounts of what he was willing to do, and really just flying off the handle very quickly at very perceived slights, very small perceived slights. It talks about back in the 90s when Death Row Records was talking about putting a Death Row East in New York. Somebody had a t-shirt on that said Death Row East, and he got in a car chase. Puffy started chasing this guy through the streets of Manhattan and shooting at him. Allegedly.
Just out on the streets. Just, I've got a loaded gun and I'm firing it.
Yeah. Over a t-shirt. Regard
for anybody.
Over a t-shirt. Because, wow. Yeah. There's, you know, it's insane.
That's somebody who's unhinged. To say the least. People, normal, I'm doing air quotes, normal people don't act that way. Even if they're pissed, a gun should not come out. You know, it's one thing if you want to throw a plate across the room and it hits the wall. Okay, yeah. Well, that's an overreaction. But a gun? Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, well, a lot is wrong with him. Here's a question, though. All these accounts in the last, you know, many of years have talked about Diddy being very drunk, very high, very out of it at some of these things, freak-offs. How much do you think he actually remembers? So when he's out there saying, I didn't do that, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. To him, maybe he didn't.
Well, and that's an interesting thing to bring up. And how much, I hate to say this, but how much responsibility is there really if you are intoxicated?
1,000% responsibility, because you chose to get intoxicated and intoxicate all of those around you. So whatever the fuck you do when you're drunk really doesn't matter. It still should be held to the same account as if you weren't.
You'd like to think that. I'd love to think that. I had a former mother-in-law, that was a raging drunk, and she did the most horrific things. Just she even fucked up our prom. I dated my ex-husband for 10 years before we got married, like through high school and college, and she was just this horrific drunk, and she messed up our prom, like our first prom together, because she was so obliterated drunk. And I remember her saying the next day, well, you know, I was drunk, so what I said didn't matter.
Fuck,
you know,
that.
It's like, fuck you.
No, I don't think a lot. I mean, like, you can have the insanity defense and all that, but I don't know. I could be wrong. This is a good question for Bob, actually, is if you're drunk, does the court look at that differently? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think it should. But maybe, I guess it probably depends on your judge, honestly, and what they're thinking. Like, if it's, I guess first degree murder would be a little different, but say it was. I mean, well, first degree meaning you're planning this. Let's say you plan it, you get really drunk, and then you execute it, and you don't remember it. But, or let's say, because if you have pre-planning, doesn't matter if you're drunk. Say you're drunk. You have no planning on killing anybody. You get into an argument with somebody, and this happens all the fucking time at bars. You know, you kill somebody. You get into a fight, guns drawn, whatever. You kill somebody. You don't remember a moment of it because you were drunk, but it was not premeditated. You did not have any intent on harming any person, whether you knew them or not. Does a court look at that differently than if you were sober doing that?
That's a very good question. You're impaired.
Yes.
So,
but you chose to impair yourself.
No, he could claim that he's not, he could say somebody drugged him. Couldn't he?
No, I mean, well, I guess. I mean, they haven't taken that angle yet, I guess. But I don't know that Diddy's going to get away with claiming he was drugged when you have all of these people that can account for being his drug mules and giving him the stuff. I don't think any court's ever going to believe that. But I guess that'd be an interesting twist of him saying, no, somebody laced it on me. Really? At every single thing you were at, someone was always lacing your drinks and something with something far more powerful than Ciroc vodka?
Right, right. I don't know. It's a really good question for a legal expert.
Yeah.
How far can you take this question? If somebody's impaired, are they still responsible for their actions?
Yes.
I'd like to think
that.
Because
that's like saying, I can go fucking do anything I want if I get drunk, and I'm not responsible for my actions.
Well, he may be held accountable for certain things to a certain level, but they could say, you know what, beyond this, he didn't know what he was doing.
True. But you're also, you have the participants as well. And there's a lot of arguments that can certainly be made there of their accountability for being, I mean, they are adults, but by a lot of accounts, it seems, well, at least in many of the accounts, they seem to be. And that seems to be the angle that Diddy's going at, is that they were willing participants. They're all adults. So the feds are going to have to show that there is underage activity going on there. Trafficking, certainly. Yeah, you can get them on that without a doubt. I mean, they got a solid case, but I'm sure they're going to be arguing, well, these are consenting adults. Were they? Did they choose to take those drugs? Did they choose to do that? Or was something given to them secretly that they were unaware of? You know, was the vodka spiked, or was, you know, what have you? Or did you choose to know, like, this is going to get you fucked up and I'm going to take it?
So I looked this up. Voluntary intoxication. If a person chooses to get drunk, now, again, a good attorney would say, well, maybe Diddy didn't choose to. Somebody, you know, put something in his drink, you know, because it was a party. Mm-hmm. He was busy making sure everybody was having a good time, and somebody spiked his drink at every party. But if you commit a crime such as assault, theft, or driving under the influence, you can still be held accountable. Those are, court generally do not allow intoxication as a criminal defense, especially for general intent crimes or involuntary intoxication. If someone was drugged or unknowingly consumed an intoxicant, they may have a defense depending on the circumstances. Now,
I get that.
Depending on how crafty they are, they could say, well, somebody must have been out to get Diddy.
For 30 years? Well, at every party, at every time he's having sex with people,
right?
Somebody's doing this shit to even when there's no one else in the room, when the rare times he's actually having consensual sex with a partner, or he thinks he is, somebody's still, you know, spiking the drinks in the mini fridge.
I know it sounds far-fetched, but everything about Diddy has been far-fetched. It wouldn't shock me if something this outrageous popped out in the next couple of weeks. Like, you know what? None of this was really his doing. Maybe he's got a split personality. It was his other personality. And we're going to go for the, you know, insanity defense. Who knows what's coming next?
All Diddy needs to do, if he wants to get off on this, is somehow help Judge Gull from the Delphi trial become a federal judge. And she better be a Diddy fan, because that's going to be a real key part of this. And if you have that, you know, anything's possible. You can just bend the truth this way and that way, and reality doesn't matter. Evidence doesn't matter. Despite the FBI got this, they'll throw the Delphi cops on it or something. And it's like, we couldn't find anything. We got nothing here. Despite everything is right there in front
exactly.
of you.
Exactly. Gaslighting 101.
Yeah, I totally. It's just another dark one. I want to say this too. If you're diddied out, it's a new term.
Well,
and probably can be meant a lot of ways or taken a lot of ways, depending on who you are. That new doc, like I said, on Peacock, really, to me, I think had some, or not on, on Max, really to me had some of the most emotional testimony I've seen from anyone on this, and where you walk away going, there's no way they're fucking lying. There's no way that this is, you know, I'm just telling a story. I mean, maybe there's some folks on there that you could argue, but a lot of the victims, especially the women that talked about it, Yeah, I mean, it was shocking. And we're going to have a recap of that on our show, hopefully tomorrow. I have all 5 hours of the doc, and I am now going around and finding the pieces that I want us to take a look at. But that takes a little bit of time when you got 5 hours of a doc, even with AI. But we'll break that down here. So be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss that, as we'll break down probably the whole damn thing, kind of piece by piece, chapter by chapter, because there's a lot in there. For instance, the time that Diddy is 50% responsible for killing 9 people at a basketball game. Remember that?
Yeah, there's that.
A lot of people don't remember that part. But we'll have that for you here on the program in the coming days. There you go. That's the latest on Diddy.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.